Upheaval. Reckoning. Chapter 40. The Herd First.
The visit to Clover the Clever's darkened refuge was enough to impress upon Fluttershy that the six companions were nothing like how they had been portrayed during Hearthswarming Eve. She was ready to read about how mean, cruel, and spiteful Pansy was. Lexarius's methods, however, didn't quite match her preparation. He did not write every book in this enormous collection, but every pony who did wrote in the manner he asked of them. There were no long discussions on how Hurricane and Pansy were bad, and that every pony should make sure not to follow them. There were only reports, cut-and-dried reports that would not have been out of place in an encyclopedia. Fluttershy skimmed through the general information on the Grey Wing Elite and Commander Hurricane. She wasn't here to learn everything like Twilight was. Only the books that detailed Pansy's actions held her attention. Hurricane's activities were listed in a single book, a book that wasn't even entirely about him, but the Grey Wing Elite as a whole. Pansy, on the other hoof, had several volumes, all dedicated to her experiments. Though she supported Hurricane's dominance over the Grey Wing Elite, Pansy's methods differed greatly from his. Hurricane focused on ideology, morale, and tactics. Pansy was more interested in direct improvement of Pegasi troops. The weak sow, the strong take, were the guiding words of the Grey Wing Elite. Pansy followed them to the letter. The first few books dedicated to Pansy's work were labeled Chimera Projects. Fluttershy was thankful for Lexarius's organization. These turned out to be Pansy's first attempts, stretching back to the time before she knew of the power of Oceanus. Pansy tried to give Pegasi soldiers the ability to cast spells by taking the horns of kidnapped unicorns and transplanting them onto volunteers. That was all it took for Fluttershy to skip ahead. First of all, she was too disturbed by the images in these reports. Second, she doubted that the stare would be something taken from the crude, early attempts of a mad pony. Fluttershy went through the other books, all the while feeling she was flying down a dark hole. Every turn of the page was another fight to keep going, to skim just long enough to see if there was anything to find before moving on, resulting in what would eventually be referred to as Eye of Fear. Fluttershy doubled back to the beginning of the page. Eye of Fear sounded close. Finally, the end of her awful search was in sight. The Earth Pony's construction of the cold steel construct and the unicorn's discovery of the crystal grave left the Pegasi in a precarious position within the six companions. Pressed by Hurricane to develop a tributary accomplishment in the Deep Father's name, Pansy abandoned her Chimera projects and most of her unsuccessful bloodline experiments in favor of utilizing the Grey Wing Elite's captured Wendigo remains, resulting in what would eventually be referred to as Eye of Fear. Fluttershy tried to turn the page, but her foreleg trembled so much that the paper kept slipping away. The stare couldn't be good. She suspected that a long time ago, no matter how much she tried to use it for good. Not only that, Blue Moon sent her to this storehouse of information about an evil time in pony history to find out more about it. After a few more fumbles, she finally turned the page, only to come upon another problem. She couldn't get her eyes to focus. They strayed from word to word, refusing to linger long enough for her to read anything.
"Read," Fluttershy told herself. "You think this is scary? Think of who they're going to carry into the hospital next. This is just a book. A book about things that happened a long, long time ago."
The letters came into focus, and the words started making sense. Fluttershy dragged her eyes to the very beginning. Surviving records from the Grey Wing Elite state that Pansy was successful in creating a bloodline from the fallen Wendigo. Based on the ability to induce terror by eye contact, Lexarius has determined that the captured remains belong to Lochoris, one of the enforcer captains bound to Oceanus. Of 200 volunteers for the ritual, reports from the Grey Wing Elite state that only 3 survived. 2 were slain during the battle for the Old Kingdom. The 3rd was captured for containment, but...
"Fluttershy, we have to go!"
Fluttershy flinched, and the book dropped heavily on one side, falling shut as it hit the floor. She gasped and tried to find the page she had been reading, but Twilight was already pulling on her tail.
"I know you want to stay here and read, Fluttershy, but the princesses are calling for us."
But it's there!"
Fluttershy said. "I just need to...
"We can come back later," Twilight said. "It must be serious if the princesses want us."
Fluttershy agreed, but that didn't make leaving the book behind any easier. Of all the inopportune times to be interrupted, With one more tug, Twilight had her walking down the hallway. Pinky hopped behind them, while Vanguard led the way. For a moment, Fluttershy forgot about what she had just read. She had expected Pinky to come out of the archives as disappointed as she was, but Pinky trotted out the doors with an eager smile. What had she found out on the Old Kingdom that would put a smile on her face? Fluttershy's thoughts went back to her own findings. Wendigos. All she knew about Wendigos came from Heartswarming Eve. They were evil enough creatures in a play that portrayed the six companions as good. How much more evil were they in reality? And the stare came from them? How was that possible? Fluttershy felt more afraid than ever to look any pony in the eye. Applejack, Rarity, and Rainbow were already in the Chamber of Elements. Rainbow still had some bandages covering the many scrapes she suffered during her ordeal. Rarity and Applejack, however, were sporting fresh bruises. Twilight gave them a disapproving look, which they answered with sheepish grins. "Sparring, got a little out of hoof," Applejack said.
"The two of you were sparring? Why didn't any pony tell me? Watching that would have been way more exciting than just staying in that boring hospital."
Rarity pushed a stray lock of her mane from her face and turned her nose up.
"We weren't doing it to entertain any pony. Every pony!"
Luna's stern tone silenced the entire chamber. When both Princess Celestia and Princess Luna approached them, they all knelt.
"No time for formalities," Luna said, gesturing for them to rise. "What's going on, princesses?"
Twilight asked.
"Black Rose is approaching Canterlot," Celestia replied.
She touched her chest briefly with a hoof.
"I can sense the power of sunlight approaching the city." "A direct attack from Black Rose?" Twilight asked. "That's nothing like her."
Rainbow slammed her front hooves together.
"Let her come! We'll take her down this time."
"That mare's more slippery than a greased-up piglet," Applejack said. "Twilight's right. There's bound to be some trap again."
"Perhaps we should consider that she's not coming here to attack,"
Rarity asked. Her friends stared at her.
"Black Rose and her thorns have proven occasionally willing to negotiate."
She looked to her sides. The injuries she had sustained from her duel with Lioncourt had all but disappeared. Dr. Redbrand had commented before that it took some very sharp blades wielded by a very precise pony to leave wounds that healed so thoroughly.
"Well, negotiate on their strange terms, anyway."
Rainbow glanced towards her flank.
"Yeah, Longstride sure did an awesome job of negotiating a meeting between his arrow and my cutie mark."
She frowned, then dragged a front hoof across the floor.
"I guess we could try something," she mumbled. "I've got something to say to Sabastiel," Pinky piped up. "I hope Black Rose brings her along if she does come."
"The announced arrival is certainly strange," Luna said. "But it doesn't change that she chose to come during Big Brother's absence."
"She's in front of the city," Celestia said.
Twilight's horn was already glowing while the others braced themselves for an incoming fight. Any moment now, the chamber would fill with magic, and Black Rose would come out with spells firing everywhere. Minutes passed, with nothing happening. A bead of sweat trickled down Fluttershy's brow. Her heart raced while she played the same situation over and over in her mind. If Black Rose did attack now, she would have nothing to offer. If only she'd found that section just a few minutes earlier, things might be different right now. Just a few minutes.
"Big sister," Luna asked. "She's still there."
Celestia closed her eyes. "She hasn't moved it." A burst of magic did erupt from the center of the chamber. When the light from the spell dimmed, the translucent image of Black Rose stood in its place.
"Excellent. Every pony is here."
Black Rose smiled and pulled back a long strand of crimson hair from her face.
"Please, forgive the ominous presence. I wanted every pony here before we commenced."
"What are you up to, Black Rose?" Twilight asked.
"A great deal of things, I assure you. But it's not what I'm doing that's the reason for this. Gravitas's arrival is much earlier than I had hoped. It appears I've overestimated the Eternal Herd's compassion towards Equestria."
Black Rose's smile widened a little.
"Or is it the Herd's fear of Oceanus that I've underestimated?"
"Your actions have unleashed the Eternal Herd's most vicious general upon Equestria, Black Rose," Celestia said. "The smile on your face says everything about your concern for this realm."
The sharp rebuke did nothing to faze Black Rose.
"I would frown until my eyebrows met my chin, Your Highness, if it would help Equestria even in the slightest. Sadly, I must take other measures for that. We have a mutual problem fortifying himself by Skymere Lake.
By now, my beloved must have told you the extent of his meddling. I would like to suggest some cooperation on our part to ensure that there is an Equestria to fight for by the end of all this.
Gravitas is sitting between you and the foul weapon, Luna said. All we have to do is delay him and tolerate his presence for a while, and the power you stole will force its way back to my sister. Why would we help you move him?
Black Rose pouted.
I had hoped my winning personality would suffice.
She was smiling as she continued.
But I also have my endurance to fall back on. It's true that I cannot hold on to the power of sunlight forever. Even with modest assumptions, however, I can keep it for a long time.
The smile disappeared as Black Rose gestured, causing another image to materialize. This time, it was a view of Canterlot's outer gates. Every pony eventually focused on a gathering of royal guards and legionnaires. The train going into the city had stopped before something on the tracks. That something was a dark green, pony-like creature with insect wings.
It took him a day to slaughter a quarter of the changeling population,
Black Rose said.
What will he do in a week? How long will it take him to twist whatever directives the Council of Elders gave him to suit his wishes? Will you really tolerate him until I am forced to surrender this power?
Fluttershy didn't know who this Gravitas was. She didn't have to know. She wasn't fond of the changelings. That didn't matter either. From the faces of each pony with her, she knew that Black Rose had made her point.
What kind of cooperation are you proposing? Luna asked.
One that benefits all of us, of course,
Black Rose said. She pressed a hoof against her chest and closed her eyes. Golden light, like liquid rays from the sun, seeped from her and bathed her hoof with radiance. The light coalesced into a marble-sized sphere at the tip of her hoof. With a gentle flick, Black Rose sent it flying. A beam of golden light passed through the walls and struck Celestia. Light bloomed from her, as if a small sun had been born. Every pony shielded their eyes from the harsh glare. When the light subsided, Celestia looked to her still glowing front hooves.
Why have you done this? She asked.
A gesture of good faith,
Black Rose said.
It also relieves some of the pressure, meaning I can hold on to the rest of the power of sunlight even longer. That should completely remove your option of waiting Gravitas out. You'll need it soon enough. You're about to come under attack.
The image disappeared, and the chamber went silent. Celestia's sharp breath drew every pony's attention.
Gate, she said. There's a gate opening within the royal palace itself.
Make yourself comfortable,
Gravitas said as he sat behind a makeshift wooden desk. The tent was large enough to fit the two of them with ease.
If I did that, your two soldiers outside would be censored already,
Tirado replied.
Can we go straight to the questions and answers, Gravitas? Neither of us is interested in niceties.
Blunt and to the point. I wish we had you in those council meetings, Tirado,
Gravitas said.
Very well. You may be the first to ask a question.
Is it true that you ask Black Rose to assassinate Celestia?
Tirado asked.
Censor,
Gravitas said.
You must remember, Your Highness, that your sister cannot be assassinated here. She would have lost a great deal of power, but she would have simply returned to the herd and stayed there.
He paused.
As she should have in the first place.
Did you ask Black Rose to censor my sister?
Tirado asked.
Yes.
Tirado considered standing on top of Gravitas, pummeling him until his dried-up brains were smeared all over the ground. Black Rose had told the truth for once. It helped a little, but changed nothing.
Why?
He asked. Gravitas lifted a small rock with his telekinesis and ground it into dust.
To make a point, he said. To show the herd that these mortals have no compunctions towards turning on us as soon as they stand to gain from it. To show the herd that it is time to stop doting on others and to start looking to our own defense.
And the herd knows of your involvement.
You can tell them if you like,
Gravitas said.
My point still stands. I will ask the question this time, Your Highness.
Tirado set his lips to a hard, grim line.
Go ahead.
You are not like your sister, Alexarius. You understand that these measures are necessary. Will you not join my side?
Tirado snorted.
You should have asked me 1,000 years ago. I might have considered. I would have still refused, mind you, but I would have given it some thought.
Give it some thought now. Your father stirs within the Silver Sanctum. Oceanus does the same, and what twisted reflection of that place he recovers in.
Where does killing all mortals fit into that situation?
Tirado asked.
Killing all mortals has always been the solution.
Gravitas placed his front hooves on the desk.
Do not bother vomiting up the same swill that Lexarius and Celestia feed any pony willing to listen. Be your own stallion for once, your highness.
Tirado snorted again and sat on the ground.
If you're done trying to shame me into joining up with you, I'd like an answer, he said.
The mortals are bound to Oceanus,
Gravitas said.
Lexarius put on a good show about how we can show them a different path. What happened? He didn't raise them up. They dragged him down.
Gravitas thumped the desk with a front hoof.
Celestia tried as well. Look at what the mortals have done to her in gratitude. We have given them enough chances. It's time to put our kind first. Oceanus will try again. It goes against all sense to leave him these soldiers to bolster his army.
The mortals have more than just the spark of Oceanus within them,
Tirado said.
It also took the power of the Eternal Herd's throne to bring them into being.
Gravitas snorted.
So Lexarius said.
Lexarius was weak, Tirado snapped. Don't compare his resolve with mine or my sister's. Yes, he meant well, and he did well. But he was confronted by the weakness of mortals, and he broke under the knowledge of it in the end.
He smiled as he continued.
I have dealt with the weakness of mortals. They're fragile. Their courage can falter. They grovel. They beg. They lie.
He paused, the image of a kneeling purple unicorn flashing in his mind. It wasn't even a year since he was explaining away Celestia's barrier policy as therapy.
This is wrong. This can't continue.
Tirado's smile widened.
But they can choose to do what is right.
In the silence that fell after that, Tirado entertained thoughts that he had provoked something from Gravitas that didn't involve contempt for mortals. As expected, all he got was the same monotone.
I had hoped that you remained in this world purely out of loyalty towards your elder sister, a respectable, albeit delusional, motive.
Gravitas shook his head, and Tirado knew that the disappointment that the older Alicorn projected into the whole world was now directed at him. A lifetime ago, this would have been enough to crush him. Now, Gravitas's approval was worth less than the dirt beneath his hooves.
It seems that you yourself have committed to this course. That is a pity, Your Highness. Even before the three of you were sent here, I had thought that you had more sense than either of your sisters.
Save your pity, disapproval, and whatever else you've convinced yourself that I might care about. My turn for a question now.
Ask your last one,
Gravitas said, his voice already distant.
I've made my demands and you've clarified your position. Going further would be pointless.
What is it about Oceanus that terrifies you so much?
Gravitas didn't answer right away. His eyes widened and his lips pressed together just a bit more tightly.
What did you just ask me?
I asked one of the Eternal Herd's greatest generals why he's so afraid of Oceanus that he'll do anything to make sure that the traitors don't get the smallest advantage.
And you are so brave, aren't you, Prince Tirado?
Gravitas spat out.
You and your sisters, so compassionate towards the mortals, so forgiving and so sure of their worth.
He struck the makeshift desk, easily splitting it apart.
None of you were there during that battle. Lexarius and his troops were floundering in Bytos.
Derision mixed with Gravitas's anger.
Celestia was hiding in the Silver Sanctum, crying over why her brother was behaving so badly while you chewed on her tail. None of you saw the destruction that had been wrought when the dust of the First Rebellion settled. None of you had to see Sanctus Dominus himself, injured and faltering. You have not felt fear until you have seen that moment, Prince Dorado. Do not talk to me about being afraid.
He drew himself to full height.
You speak of trusting the mortals. You did not have to see your very comrades cast aside their royalties for the traitor prince.
He pointed a hoof at Toronto.
Is it too much to expect royalty to put the herd first?
You're right, Toronto said. I haven't seen what you have. Not even half. But I've seen things too. He pushed aside the broken remains of the desk and brought his face against Gravitas's. It had been a long time since he had to look up to a pony who stood at the same level as he did. You say that, as royalty, I should put the herd first? He grinned and took satisfaction in watching Gravitas grow angrier at his disrespect. I say let the herd fall. If the Eternal Herd can only go on if we destroy these innocents and all they've tried to build for themselves here, I say let Oceana sweep away the old order. Maybe something better can emerge when it's all over. You watch your tongue, insolent prince. Or we can do it in the way my sisters and I are still discovering. We can save both the Eternal Herd and Equestria without sacrificing everything that makes them worth saving. You would not say that if you truly knew what you were up against, Colt. Gravitas snarled. Toronto snorted again. How long are you going to let your fear of the Firstborn decide things for you? He asked. Be your own stallion for once. Gravitas was about to make another angry reply, but he paused and exhaled slowly. Stepping back, he spoke in a flinty but more even tone.
There is nothing left to discuss. Fulman, Redentum, escort the prince out of the herd's new base of operations.
Toronto turned and left without waiting for the two. Gravitas spoke once more as he turned his back.
When you get back to Canterlot, Toronto, you will find that it is already prepared for my takeover.
Toronto stopped, but he didn't look back. Did you think any pony would be shocked to find out you brought more than two alicorns to back you up? He pushed past his two escorts, shoving Redentum aside with a shoulder when he didn't move away fast enough. I trust my sisters, and I trust the elements of harmony. Before this is all over, I hope you can do the same. We can still use you when the Ninth Rebellion turns up.